Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. Is anyone excited to be at church today? Awesome. So good to see you guys. I want to give a special shout out to those who are watching online. Thanks for being a part of our online community. And I want to give another shout out to those that are here today, whether you're watching online or here in person, and you are in our armed services in our military. My dad is retired Army, and so I know what it's like to travel across the country. And one of the things that's really difficult when you're in the military is finding a church home. So if you're here today, we want to say welcome to you and thank you for your service for our country. I want to give one more shout out. Would you guys help me put your hands together for our first time guests? Would you help me welcome our guests today? Yeah. Every Sunday is somebody's first Sunday, and so we're so excited that you chose to be with us today. If this is your first time, I want to ask you to take the Stick for Three Challenge. And the Stick for Three Challenge is a simple challenge. We just want to invite you to come back. And the reason we do that is because it's difficult to figure out if a church can be your church after just one visit. So the way that you take the Stick for Three Challenge is you're already there because you came one time. That's one of your three visits. What you need to do after this service is head down the hallway to guest services and let them know that you want to take the Stick for Three Challenge. They'll give you a little card. And here's the cool thing about that. Just for taking the Stick for Three Challenge, you are going to make a difference. Every time someone takes a Stick for Three Challenge at our church, we give financially to one of our strategic partners. So you make a difference just simply for taking the challenge. But wait, there's more. If you complete the challenge and attend three times, bring that card back to guest services, and we have a special gift just for you for completing the Stick for Three Challenge. Well, today we are continuing our series, Your Religion is Broken. And if you missed last week, I highly recommend that you watch the replay of the service. You can do it. The easiest way is through YouTube. You can find us, Next Level Church 757 on YouTube. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to us on YouTube and help us grow that community. But I highly recommend anytime you miss a week, miss a service, to watch the week before. If you're out of town, you can watch it live on our live stream, or you can go back and watch a replay of it, because every week builds upon the last week. And last week, we looked at a scripture where Jesus gave a parable. And a parable is simply a story with a point. And Jesus's parable started off by comparing God to a vineyard owner. And it was incredible. As soon as we read the scripture that God is like a vineyard owner, 22 white women became Christians. They were like, if God owns a vineyard, sign me up. I am there. Thank you for laughing. The last hour, that went right over their head. Seriously, though, I'd never even been to a vineyard until today. People don't get married at churches anymore. It's like everyone gets married at, like, vineyards. And so I've never been to one up until the last couple years. But we looked at how Jesus said that God is like a vineyard owner, and he's welcoming people in. He's looking for people to work. But some of the people get upset, and they don't like the other people that are coming at the last minute. And we looked at how that's what religion does. Religion is focused on who's in, who's out. It's focused on our own performance, on what we've done. But if you're new and you missed last week, I want to make sure that you hear me say this, that religion is not bad. Religion, being broken doesn't mean that it's bad. It doesn't mean that it's evil. Religion is not necessarily good or bad. Religion is simply a system. The definition of religion is a personal set or institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. So religion is simply a system. Every religion came about because people gathered together, they wanted to worship God, and so they came up with a system. It's the rules to follow. If you want to follow this religious system, these are the rules that you do, these are the things that you don't do, this is how we worship God. Every religion is simply a system. And so Christianity is the religion that helps us understand God, the God of the Bible, and Jesus. But then it gets confusing because under the umbrella of Christianity, there's a whole bunch of denominations. And it's like we're not happy enough with just having the umbrella of Christianity. We couldn't get along and we couldn't understand God completely. So then we come up with a whole bunch of different varying denominations. And I don't know if you grew up in church or not, but if you grew up in church, you may have learned a certain set of rules, a certain set of things to do or not do based off your denomination that fell under the umbrella of Christianity. Like, for example, did anyone here, just by a show of hands, grow up Methodist? Methodist. One and a half of you. Cool. Presbyterian? Okay, handful of you. charismatic or Assemblies of God? Okay, there you go. You would be the ones that make noise. Anyone grow up Catholic? All right, all right. Are you allowed to make noise if you're Catholic? Anyone grow up Baptist? All of you are like, I don't know, can I raise my hand in church? We didn't do that in the Baptist faith. So if you grew up going to a church, right, you learned a system, and it became very comfortable to you. It helped you understand God. That system was not necessarily bad, and it wasn't necessarily good. It was a system that helped you relate to God and understand what to do with God. The problem is, when it comes to religion, that we so focus on the system that we forget what it's supposed to do. And so often, when it comes to religion, we end up worshiping the religion instead of the God of the universe. We become married to the system. We become passionate and in love with the system and the rules, and we forget that the whole point of it is the point is to Jesus. Pastor J.D. Greer says this, a Christianity that does not have as its primary focus the deepening of passions for God is a false Christianity. No matter how zealously it seeks conversion or how forcefully it advocates righteous behavior. So some of you may have even grown up in churches that you're like, yeah, of course, I'm a Christian. But did it point you to Jesus, or did it point you just to do some work? Did it point you just to follow some rules? Did it teach you that if you do certain things, you're in good with God, but if you don't do these things, you're out? Any religion that doesn't point us ultimately to the presence of Jesus is a false religion. It is not true Christianity. And this is why religion is broken. Because whenever we start to follow a religion, we start to focus on what we can do for God. And the downside of religion is that it's always based on our performance. And when religion is based on our performance, it always leads to two things. Number one, it leads to pride. I don't know if you know a lot of Christians. I don't know if you grew up to church or not. I don't know if you spend time watching Christians online. But you will often see Christians that will be incredibly judgmental and arrogant and prideful. And the reason is because at some point they've taken their eyes off of Jesus and they put their eyes on their performance. And whenever you start to focus on your performance and you do it right, you look down at other people. Well, why can't they follow God like I do? They don't love Jesus like I love Jesus. I follow the rules. I do what I'm supposed to do. I can't believe they don't follow the rules. Anytime you start to focus on the rules of religion, it will start to lead to pride, or number two, it will lead to insecurity. Because when religion is based off your performance, you'll feel good about yourself when you perform. But what happens when you mess up? And there are way too many people that when they've messed up, when they've fallen short, they start to question, do I belong in church anymore? Like, am I allowed to come in? Like, I've royally messed up. Not just, I kind of messed up. Like, I know it was my fault. I messed up. Am I allowed to come in? Am I allowed to be here once I've crossed those lines? And then it leads you to question God. God, I didn't follow your rules. And no one forced me to disobey. I chose to disobey. God, can you love me? Have I messed up so much that now I can't be in relationship with you? Because the downside of religion is it's always based on your performance, and it always leads to either pride or insecurity. But Jesus didn't give us a new religion. He gave us the gospel. And the gospel is life-changing. When you understand the gospel, you will see that you are way more flawed than you'd like to admit. But you're also way more loved than you could ever imagine. The gospel is like holding up a mirror to your soul. And it doesn't hide the fact that you're broken. It doesn't hide the fact that you're imperfect. It shares with you. It shows you, yeah, you got some issues. You got some flaws. But guess what? God loves you through it. The gospel is so much more powerful, and it gives us so much more life than religion ever could. And that's why in this series we are talking about the difference between religion and the gospel. And today I want to share with you a passage of scripture written by the Apostle Paul. There is a lot of people in the Bible that are very influential, but Paul is someone that I call a PTP-er. He's a primetime player. And I call him that for a couple reasons. Number one, he wrote over half of the New Testament. But number two, he helped us understand the gospel more than anyone else in the Bible. He really helped define and help us figure out and understand, okay, if you're going to be a part of Christianity, the gospel is a part of it. And so we're going to look at something that Paul wrote to some of the earliest Christians that ever live. But at Next Level, we honor the text. And the way that we honor the text is by standing to our feet and reading it nice and loud. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me Philippians 3:8. Now, when we get to the reference, Philippians 3:8, we do something that we admit is a little weird. We just embrace it. If you're new, just roll with it. Just go with it. We know it's weird and we don't care. We do it anyway. When we get to the reference, we will say Philippians 3, and then those two dots, we pump our fists and say dot, dot, verse 8. So I want to invite you to do the dot, dot with us. It's lots of fun. It'll wake you up, get the blood flowing, and it's just amazing. All right. Read it with me nice and loud. It says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." Philippians 3, dot, dot, 8. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Would you pray with me? Bow your head, close your eyes, and just silently, wherever you're watching this online or here in the room, would you just pray with me? God, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. God, we are so prone to turn away from you. We're so prone to disobey you, and we're so prone to harden our hearts. So we invite you to soften our hearts so that we can hear from you today. And we don't need a cold religion, God. We need you. So we ask you to help us to experience your presence, that you would change our hearts and our minds. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So I want to give you a little bit of context about the verse that we're reading. It is written by Paul. It's written to a group of Christians living in Philippi. He started a church in Philippi, and they sent to him a care package. The reason they send to Paul a care package is because he is in prison. He is in prison not because he's broken any rules, not because he's broken any laws. He is in prison because he couldn't stop talking about Jesus. And it wasn't even against the law to talk about Jesus, but people got so upset with Paul that they threw him in prison, literally to protect him, because they wanted to rip him in half. They were so angry at him. So they throw him in jail. And now once you're in jail in the Roman system, you're not able to work. And so other people have to provide for your needs. So if you get thrown in prison in Rome, your friends and family have to send you meals and have to send you clothing and bedding, and everything that you need is provided by other people. So Paul is thrown in prison, and the group of Christians in Philippi that are at a church that he started hear that he's in prison, and they gather their supplies together and they send him a care package. And he's so grateful for the care package. He writes them a letter, and if you've never read all of Philippians, I highly recommend it. It is one of my favorite books in the entire Bible. It is so encouraging, so full of joy. It is absolutely amazing. It is a very positive letter. But then in chapter 3 of Philippians, Paul changes his tune. He goes from being very positive to talking about these religious people. And you can tell his mood changes, his tone changes. There were some religious people who had come into the church in Philippi, and they started teaching something that Paul says that's not the gospel. They started teaching that there are certain rules that you have to follow, and if you don't follow these rules, you're not a Christian. And the Philippians were like, well, these guys are pretty religious, they're pretty moral, they must know what they're talking about. And so Paul addresses it in chapter 3. That's where we're going to pick up in Philippians 3, verses 4 through 6. It says, "If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless." So Paul gives his spiritual resume. Now, most of us in the room are not Jewish. We didn't grow up in a Jewish household. If you did and you saw his resume, you would notice right away that he's not just a Jewish person. He is the Jew of all Jews. He is like the Michael Jordan of Jews. He has checked every box. If he put his resume on LinkedIn, he would have multiple job offers every single day. He is like the best candidate. Anyone in his audience would have said, "Wow. You're not just a Jew, you're like a super Jew. Like, you've done all these things. You are like, not only were you born in the right family and born of the right tribe, but you followed all the rules. And not only did you follow the rules, you're a Pharisee," which a Pharisee is a teacher of the law. So not only did you do everything, you're now the best of the best. You are amazing. And he says, "As for righteousness based on the law, faultless." In verse 6, this legalistic righteousness that he talks about. The legalistic righteousness is a righteousness produced by using the law as an attempt to merit God's approval or blessing. What Paul is saying is that if there's anyone that could brag on following the rules, it's me. If we're based on how well we do things for God, I'm the best one there is. I followed all the rules. I've done everything. That must mean that I'm super close with God. Now, if you don't know the context of this and you read these verses, you're like, well, Paul sounds like he's bragging. Like he doesn't sound very humble. But Paul is doing something intentional. He's sharing his resume so that they know, hey, listen, you want to listen to religious people? You're listening to these religious guys that have come into the church and they're legalistic and they're showing you, telling you that you can't love God unless you follow these rules. You want to listen to them? Well, here, listen to me. I have a higher degree of pedigree. I've done more than they've ever done. I followed all the religious systems. But then watch what Paul says in Philippians 3, verses 7 through 8. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, or if you're fancy, garbage, that I may gain Christ. All right, did you catch what Paul said? Paul says that, hey, listen, look at my resume. It's pretty impressive, but I consider all of that garbage compared to knowing Jesus. Now, if you don't know anything about Paul's life, what you need to know is that Paul's life before Jesus was much easier than after he met Jesus. As soon as he meets Jesus, he goes into one heartache after another. He is shipwrecked. He is beat. He is stoned. And I mean they pick up rocks and they threw them at him. He is thrown in prison and he didn't do anything wrong. He has lived a really hard life after he comes to Jesus, and he says, you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it. When he looks back at his old life, he's like, I would give all that up again just to experience Jesus all over again. There is nothing greater than the surpassing love of Jesus. In fact, Paul says, I consider it garbage. Now, some Bible translations don't use the word garbage. Some use the word from Great Britain, rubbish. It's a good word. I like that word, rubbish. I don't know what your translation says, but I can promise you that whatever translation you have, it's a mistranslation. They have churched up this word. They are embarrassed to write what Paul actually wrote in this word. I don't know a lot of Greek. In seminary, I had to take a couple semesters of Greek, and I forgot it all. It's all Greek to me. I have to use, like, word studies now. I use a lot of Google. There's a lot of tools that I use to help me understand the Greek because I just don't remember it. But I will never forget the day that I learned the Greek word that Paul uses. It is the word skubala. It is a great word. In fact, it's fun to say. Would you humor me and just say this word on the count of three? One, two, three. Skubala. It's an amazing word. Here's what skubala is, though. It is scandalous. Skubala, this word is used primarily for excrement. Especially human excrement, but with a stronger emotive connotation and concomitant shock value. So, in case you've fallen asleep and aren't paying attention, Paul intentionally uses a word for shock value. He intentionally puts a word in the text that would make everyone in his audience go, huh? He didn't just say that. Now, anytime I use any type of potty humor or bring anything about the bathroom in church, someone gets offended, and they're like, you just can't say that. And that's why Bible translations have glossed up this word. They've polished it over. They've made it better. In fact, most of the time, when someone is to say something bathroom-related in church, it's an accident. Like, I don't know if you saw this, but a pastor not too long ago went viral on TikTok and then ended up going viral on YouTube because he accidentally said something, and it was hilarious. And in case you don't know what I'm talking about, I brought that clip with me. Check this out.
Before we begin, let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts are made ready to hear the truth, to be love you more.
I don't know how you recover after that. Heavenly farts. Now, that's an example of a misspeak. He didn't mean to say fart in church. He just did it. It just came out of his mouth. But what Paul is doing is not an accident. You don't accidentally write the word scubala. He intentionally is putting it in the text. You know a better English word for the word scubala? It's not trash or rubbish. It's actually our word, C-R-A-P, which I don't feel comfortable saying with my kids sitting in the front row. C-R-A-P, that would be a better translation. You're like, wait, that's in the Bible? Yes. Paul was wanting to get his audience's attention. And he says, listen, I have a resume that's better than anyone's resume that's ever lived. And when I look back over my religion, when I look back over the things that I've accomplished, and I compare it to knowing Christ, it's like refuse. It's like excrement. It's like dung. It's the grossest thing you can think of. Because nothing compares to the greatness of being in the presence of God. Now, this is very different than what a lot of Christians and churches teach and what a lot of maybe even you have grown up learning. Something that is very prevalent in our churches today is something that is called Christian moralistic therapeutic deism. I know that's a mouthful. Christian moralistic therapeutic deism is very much like the righteousness that Paul talked about, this religious righteousness. This is what it means. We are able to earn favor with God and justify ourselves before God by virtue of our behavior. So maybe you grew up in a church and you've never heard this phrase, but you're very familiar with what it means. This phrase, what it means is that if you do good for God, he owes you something. Your job is to be a good Christian and to follow the rules. And if you'll give a little bit to God, then he'll give something back for you in return. So maybe if you grew up in church, maybe you heard people say things like, if you give some money to God, he will bless you. So now the motivation is not giving to God because he already has blessed me. It's trying to get something back from God. Or maybe you grew up in a church where you heard something said like, if you have cancer, it's because you don't have enough faith in God. And if you're struggling with mental illness, it's because you don't have enough faith in God. And the way to fix it is more faith in God. The problem with that is it's based off your effort. And it's based off what you do. And anytime it's based off what you do, it will lead to pride or insecurity. And we've created like this Christian bartering system with God that says, God, if I do something for you, then you owe me something in return. If I give to you, then you better give me some blessings. And if I serve you, especially if I serve you in the kids' wing, you owe me something, God. And if I'm nice to people, then God, you better be nice to me. It is Christian moralistic therapeutic deism. It is based on the fact that we think we can earn the favor of God. And it's not Christianity. This is scubala. To think that you can do anything to earn God's favor when he's already given it to you, it is messed up religion. It is broken. You see, we don't do religious things to try to earn God's favor. We do them because we have experienced his favor. We don't do religious things because we want to get God's attention. And we say, hey, God, look at me. I went to church. I stuck for three. Now you owe me something, God. That's not why we do these things. We do these things because he's already given to us. He already sent his son who died on a cross for us. His son forgave us of our sins. His son came to serve us. And because of that, we then want to give back to him. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Amen. Anytime we try to do religion on our own, it's going to lead us to pride or insecurity. And Paul says, listen, if anyone could brag, it's me. But when I look back over my old life, when I look back on religion, I consider it scubala. Look at what he says next. I consider them garbage. There's that word, scubala. Philippians 3, 8 through 11. I consider them scubala, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So do you see the difference between Paul's religion and Paul's relationship with Jesus? The religion, the section, it's all about him. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I did. But when it gets to Jesus, it's all about Jesus. And there are some rules, there are some things that we do in Christianity, but we get it messed up when we start worshiping the rules. And we start thinking, well, I must be good with God because I followed a few rules. Jesus didn't come to give us a new religion. He came to give us himself. When you wake up in the morning and you're like, I should read the Bible, it's not because you want a good day or you want God to bless you. It's because you think, I can't wait to get into the presence of God. God, I've been sleeping for 6 or 4.5 hours, depends on the night, and now I just want to get into your presence. I can't wait to open the Bible and to hear from you. When it comes to prayer, you don't think, oh man, I got to pray to be a good Christian. You're like, no, prayer is the way I talk to my God. I can't wait to pray. And when it comes to finances, you're not saying, oh my goodness, I better give to God. The church needs my money. They're in a building fund. No, you say, God, you've given to me. I can't wait to give back to you. And when it comes to serving, it's not an obligation. We're not like, oh, I have to serve because the pastor did a sermon on serving and now I feel bad, so now I'm going to serve. No, it's like, Jesus, you serve me. I can't wait to serve in the kids' wing. Because Jesus, you serve me. And now because I've been served by you, I can't wait to go out and serve other people. Do you see the difference between religion and the gospel? In verse 8, Paul says to know Christ. And when Paul says to know Christ, it's not simply to have knowledge of him. Paul uses the Greek verb that means to know experientially or personally. When Paul says he knows Christ, he's not talking about he's just heard about him. He's not saying that he's read about him or he went to a church service. He's like, I've experienced him. And the experience for Paul is so amazing that he says it's better than all the past religion that he lived his whole entire life. He considers it scubala. Knowing Christ is so good, it changes. It literally changes everything. So Paul is very clear with us that your religion will only get you so far. And he continues to talk about how it's the gospel that helps us unlock this. That without the gospel, we'll be focused on religion. We'll focus on our preferences or our work or what we've done. But that the gospel really does change everything. This week on TikTok, of all places, I saw a great TikTok that explains the gospel in a very user-friendly way. And I wanted to share it with you. Check this out.
This is one of the purest definitions of what the gospel is. So you are driving in a car and Jesus is sitting in the passenger seat. And he's trying to instruct you. He's saying, hey, turn left here, turn right here. And after a while, you just get sick of it. You get sick of him telling you what to do, even though he has your best interest in mind. So you stop the car, you reach over, you open up the door, and you let Jesus out. And he gets out, close the door, and you keep going. Because now you're going to do it on your own. And only a half a mile down the street, you get into a major accident, go down into this ditch. But Jesus, he continued walking and pursuing you in your direction. He hears the sound of the accident and comes running after you and running into the ditch and into the wreckage and pulls you out of the mess. This is the gospel. Jesus is willing to come and step into the mess with you. Do you need this? Do you need to start following Jesus?
Some of you have grown up with religion, and you're just tired of it, and you're worn out, and you say, I served for years, and I just got burnt out. What did it give me? And I was a part of church for years, and I'm just burnt out, and now I don't even have the motivation to go. Can I just tell you that somewhere along the way, you took your eyes off Jesus, and you started focusing on your effort and what you can do, and whenever you do that, you just get exhausted. So my challenge for you today is don't give up on the church. Don't give up on Christians. They're imperfect. We're all imperfect. We all have our issues. Don't give up on us, but just put your eyes on Jesus. Put your eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith. When you're feeling down, don't put your eyes on your own effort or your circumstances. Put your eyes on Jesus. Get to Jesus. Run to Jesus because Jesus changes everything. And when you understand the gospel, you understand just how truly broken and jacked up you are. But then you also understand just how much the God of the universe loves you anyway. So may we be a people that rejects religion, May we hold tight to the gospel of Jesus. May we understand that we don't get to God because we're good or because we have great effort. We don't. We're the ones in the car accident. We're the ones who caused the wreck to begin with. But God, because He is good, He keeps chasing after us. So may we reject religion for a relationship with Jesus. And may we hold tight to the gospel in everything that we do. Will you pray with me? God, we come before You and we just thank You for the gospel. We thank You that it is the thing that changes our lives. It's not our works. It's not our efforts. It's not our religion. It is You. And I just ask, God, for those that are hurting, those who are barely hanging on, for those who are tired of religion, God, I ask that You would speak to their hearts right now. I ask that You would just soften our hearts to help us know that You love us despite our mess, despite our issues, despite the things that we've done. God, You love us passionately and Your love never wavers. Your love never fails. That You love us despite our imperfections. God, we desperately need You. And so we give You our worship and we ask that You do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.